Let us pray. Holy One, through your Holy Spirit, instruct us by the light of your prophets. Illumine our hearts that we may hear your call to become your path into the world. Use me, O Lord, to rightly proclaim your word this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to start this morning with a memory test. How many of you remember these words? This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area and voluntary cooperation with the FCC and federal, state, and local authorities have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. A lot of you. I remember when the sirens would sound all through Orlando and parents who had signed up stopped whatever they were doing and drove to the schools and got in a long line of cars, and each car got filled with four or five or six kids, and each driver was given a destination, and they'd drive off and go to the destination and check in and bring us back to school. That was an annual drill that we had every year when the broadcast system would go off, just in case. Then naturally, the government developed precautions and guards to make sure that this didn't just go off inadvertently. But it happened. In 1971, the alarm system went off everywhere. All the radio and TV stations, any broadcaster was given a message from the government saying that what I just read to you, but then the last words read, "This is not a test." And it went out all over the country. Do any of you remember that? Because guess what happened? All of the radio and TV stations that received this message, "This is not a test," either ignored it or thought it was a mistake and didn't do anything. They didn't continue the broadcast, put it on the air, as by law they were expected to do. TV station in Chicago shut down, as was required by law under such circumstances. Some people listened, and some people didn't. And John the Baptist met kind of the same response. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We're not exactly sure what that meant, except it seems to me that we can at least assume that his message was urgent, and he was trying to get it out to people. The scripture is appropriate for this second Sunday of Advent because without Christ, the world is indeed a wilderness. Without Christ, the world is a prisoner of war camp, and we are all chained by the power of sin. Without Christ, it is a cold, meaningless world. In the second chapter of C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, have any of you read that? If you haven't, I commend it to you. It's got some good allegorical stuff in it. In the second chapter of that book, little Lucy goes into the wardrobe in her grandfather's house, and she falls through the back of it, and suddenly she's in a strange place. She has inadvertently entered the land of Narnia, And she has no idea where she is. But she sees a fawn. The fawn is Mr. Tumnus. And he begins to talk with her and told her that it was winter time there in Narnia, because she was shivering. He said, it's always winter time here. It's spring back where you came from, but here it's winter, and it's always winter because of the White Witch. Well, the White Witch had put a spell over Narnia such that it's always winter, Mr. Tumnus said, and never Christmas. Can you imagine that? Now, we don't have that kind of cold around here. But can you imagine going through an entire season of winter, shivering with cold? Or here in Florida, where we start taking off our sweaters when we get in a room that's too hot, but never a Christmas? No Christmas trees, no garlands, nothing to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. That is a wonderful description that Mr. Tumnus gave to Lucy about a world without Christ. It is always winter and never Christmas. Now, John's message was a word of warning, but ultimately it was a word of hope. He was telling the world, repent, our salvation is at hand. Not in the near future, it is near at hand. John's task was to prepare the world for the coming of Christ. He was the emergency broadcasting system of his day. This is how I thought about that as I was working on this. John's message to the world was not a siren that went off and said, hop in a car and go someplace else. His message was, Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming to be here with you. One of the humorous characteristics of a presidential campaign watched with great interest happened when Obama and McCain were running against each other. There were a lot of messianic hopes by his followers for Obama. And McCain used to joke about this. And he would joke about Obama being messianic in his call to people and how he, John McCain, had no charisma. Well, Obama also would joke about it. And he said, contrary to what you may have known, I was not born in a manger. I actually was born on Krypton and sent by my father Jor-El to Earth to save the planet. Now, neither one of them were the Messiah nor Superman, no matter what some of the people may have hoped and wanted. When life gets difficult, people pray for a leader to lead them out of the difficulties. We see that every night. You can turn on your TV. And I don't care whether employment is up or down or the economy is up or down. However it has gone, the responsibility for it is always laid on the president's shoulders. Always, whether it's up or whether it's down. Because we expect the president to lead us out of this, out of these 2 years that we have gone through and don't know the end is in sight. People pray for someone to lead them out of the darkness that they are experiencing. When John came along, Israel had been looking for a savior for hundreds of years. At the present time, they were living under that horrible boot of the Roman Empire, and they were looking for a deliverer. And here comes John the Baptist, announcing that the deliverer, the Messiah, is at hand. He is coming. He is near. Get prepared. I'm sure that I apologize. I did a crossword puzzle this last week that focused on things that happened in 1957. And that was the emergency broadcasting system and also the movie The Bridge Over the River Kwai, starring Alex Guinness. How many saw that? Probably a lot of you, because it was such a popular movie. It was deemed one of the 100 great films of the 20th century. And it's a story of a prisoner of war camp in the northern part of Burma, where US and British soldiers were interred by the Japanese army to build this bridge. Ernest Gordon, who was one time the chaplain at Yale University, was one of those prisoners. And he wrote a book, Through the River of the Kwai, in which he shared his experience as a prisoner in that camp. It's a very degrading and desolate kind of picture that he paints. He says that when the young soldiers in the camp realized that they were going to be there for a while, they began to have Bible study lessons and to pray diligently that they would be delivered from their circumstances. He said that at first their prayers were shallow and superficial, praying for this deliverance and railing at God. Why am I in this situation? Why have you put me here? At the time, however, something happened and their railing against God stopped. They began to move towards a more mature faith. They began to pray about their relationships with one another. Instead of their question, why, God? Their question became, how do I relate to others, God? How do I relate with others? Gordon said that the most spiritual moment of that experience was on Christmas night in 1944. Because it was Christmas, the Japanese had not made the servicemen work that day, and they had even given them a little extra food. Not much, but a little extra for the day. And as evening came, and they are all in their, quote, barracks, which was really just poles holding up a thatch roof with open sides and a dirt floor. That's where they slept. And as they were there that Christmas night, one of the soldiers began to sing a Christmas carol. And soon another began to sing, and then another. And after a bit, the entire camp was singing this Christmas carol. And those who could, those who were ambulatory, walked to the center area. It was like a parade field where they would line up in the mornings. And they walked to that area, and they all sat together in a big circle, singing Christmas carols. Now, Gordon says that God touched the entire group of men that night. The music had gone all through the camp, even through the infirmary where people were dying. And Gordon called it the most sacred event in which he had ever been involved. There was no preacher standing up there to preach. There was no organist playing. There were no comfortable pews to sit in. There were no greeters to tell you how grateful we are and pleased we are that you're here. And there was no one there when you walked out the door or get out of the parade field to say, have a nice day. None of that. Just soldiers that were hurting. Soldiers that were tired. Soldiers who had been abused, sitting in a circle, on the parade field singing Christmas carols. This was the most sacred event that Gordon said he had ever experienced in his life, because in that gathering and in that singing and in that music that was going throughout the camp, Gordon says that God touched them. You never know how or when God is going to touch you. But if you've listened to John and prepared the way, which basically means open up your heart. You know the phrase, let go, let God. Open up your heart so that you can say to God, I'm sorry. Come into my heart. And God's there. I went to church one Sunday years ago, and the pulpit area was kind of like this. There were a couple of steps, not a whole lot, to go up to get into that area. And the days before, during that week, a creche scene had been laid out on a table there. All of the figures were there surrounding the stable area, but the table was only about yay tall, very, very low, such that no matter where you were, you had to kneel to see what was inside that stable. And as I walked up there and I knelt on one of the steps to look in and see Joseph, Mary, and the babe in a manger, I was touched by God. And I can't explain to you how or why. I just know that I was very aware that kneeling, when you come into the presence of the Christ child, is so very important. For kneeling represents our letting go, our turning over our will to someone else. God touched me in that kneeling. And that church has never put the creche back where it was that year. But they still put it up every year. Christmas is coming. Open your hearts for room for the Messiah. Patricia Greenlee tells a story about how her son, who was a West Virginia state trooper, stopped a woman for going 15 miles over the speed limit. And he writes her a ticket and hands it to her, and she looks out the window of her car and she says, don't y'all give warnings here in West Virginia? And he looked at her and he said, yes, ma'am, we do. They're all along the highway. It says speed limit 55. Just like the broadcasting system. People don't pay attention to the signs. How recently have you driven down 95? You could be going 75 miles an hour, which is the speed limit, I think. I don't drive anymore, so I don't stay aware of these things. And the car, they're zipping in and out of traffic, and they're passing you. They have to be going 85 or 90 or more. They're not paying any attention to the sign. It's kind of like the emergency broadcasting system that went off inadvertently. Some people listen, some people don't. Some people listen to John. Some people didn't. Some people read the Bible and pray on a regular basis to be close to God. Some people don't. But the signs are all there for us to make straight a path into our heart, as I say, by letting go and letting God. It's amazing how deaf people are sometimes to these warnings. It's like the little girl named Stephanie, who was orphaned after both of her parents died. With no other relatives to take care of her, she went into the foster care system. And at one point, she went to the family of the Weavers. Stephanie was a very quiet child. You could tell her to do just about anything, and she would, but she seldom responded. So Mrs. Weaver, after a while, talked to the social worker and got records for her. And one family had said, "Stephanie is a quiet, shy girl," and the second family wrote, "She obeys, but she doesn't participate much in the family." So Mrs. Weaver doubted if Stephanie would ever really fit in and thought that she'd let her stay through Christmas, and then she talked to the social worker about making a move. And Christmas morning came, and there were lots of packages for all of the children and the parents. And then at one point, little Stephanie stands up and walks over to Mrs. Weaver, and she hands her a brown paper bag upon which she had drawn, as well as she could as a 10-year-old, a picture of the manger scene. And when Mrs. Weaver opened up the brown paper bag, she found in it a rhinestone necklace that had some stones missing and a small bottle of perfume that was half empty. And she pulled out the necklace and she put it on, and she took the perfume and she put a little bit behind her ear. And Stephanie came up to her and stood right in front of her, and she said, "Now, in my mother's necklace, you look just like her, and you smell just like her, too." Mrs. Weaver's heart melted. By the next Christmas, Stephanie was their adopted daughter. She didn't send her off to another family. She worked even harder to break through the shell that Stephanie had built around herself after the tragic loss of her parents. And that's what John is telling us that God is going to do. He's going to come and try and break through the shell that we have around our hearts. And that coming was near. He's come now. And God seeks to speak in our dark, cold world. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah has come. Prepare yourself for him. Salvation is what the Christmas story is all about. Salvation, God coming into the world. God sending a baby. Someone who needs us to care for him. All of you, I'm sure, at some time have been around a baby, whether it's yours or somebody else's. They need love and care and tender touch. Food, and they need to be changed. All kinds of care babies need. Jesus came as a baby. So if you are hesitant to bring him into your heart as a conquering hero to take over in your life, then think of him as that babe for whom you need to care. And he might be full grown, but he still needs your love and your attention. God has given us undeservedly the Messiah. May we too, in this season, give ourselves to others with love. The Messiah is coming, and then you will see God's salvation. I pray that during this holy season this year, you will be touched in a new way by the hand of God in your life. May it be so. Amen.